How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. Well, listen, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet or meet you, my name's Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church. And I start off our Sunday mornings, every single Sunday morning, the same way. There's literally no place I would rather be than right here with you all at Bridge City Church, worshiping God and praising His name. So I just want to say thank you for joining us this morning and doing exactly that. Can we make some noise for our worship team just leading us into the presence of God? They did a phenomenal job doing so. And I don't know if you know this or not, but week in and week out, they practice every week. They're here early, worshiping and practicing to lead you guys into the presence of God. So thank you to them for everything that they do and are going to continue to do. And I want to start off by saying what an honor and a privilege it is to be able to be on the stage. And I wouldn't be here if your amazing campus pastor didn't have surgery this past week. But I'm honored and privileged to be here so that he can continue to rest and heal, and you can continue to just pray for he and Melanie and everything that they're going through right now. It is very near and dear to my heart and my wife Rachel's. We totally understand what surgeries are like, but continue to pray for him. Continue to encourage him. Continue to ask the question, what can we do? Okay, the two people said, okay, yeah. No, continue to ask the question, okay, because it's hard to make it through things without the kingdom of God. And you guys are the kingdom. This is his church, and everything that we're a part of is because of his plan and his design. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to start off with prayer, and then we're going to jump into a few things. Father God, I thank you so much for what you have prepared to share this morning. Lord, I pray that every word that leaves my mouth would be directly from you. God, I thank you for all the praying and preparing and planning that went in today, but we submit everything to you at this point forward, Lord. Everything is submitted to you at your feet. God, help us to see everything that you want us to see in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, listen, we're going to kick off a new series today. It's entitled Big Picture, and you got to watch that amazing sermon bumper behind me, but now you get to look at this picture for a little bit. And I want to paint the picture for you today because I'm all about perspective. Everything in my life revolves around that word perspective. How do we see? What are we seeing? What are we looking at? And this series, Big Picture, helps us to just hit pause and see some things. Because if we're not seeing clearly, everything else in our life will be completely thrown off track. And the big picture is a statement that helps us to understand that there's something way bigger going on around us. Whenever we look at certain things in our life, we're only looking at what we're going through, what we're feeling, what we're experiencing. But God wants us to know that He has a way bigger plan and a purpose. So if you're sitting here today and you're wondering, what is the purpose for my life? Maybe you've had a horrible week and the only thing that you've seen is the storm. Maybe you're sitting here today and you have no idea what you were created for, why you're here, what you're doing in this generation. Oh, I wish I was born in the other generations. God has a purpose and a plan and a big picture for you and for us as His church. So today's message is all about that, all about us understanding that God has a purpose for our life. And what are we to do in that purpose and through that purpose? It's to seek Him and serve Him all the days of our life. I know you may be thinking, well, that's easy for you to say. No, it's for all of us to understand and see and experience. So I want to start off with a few amazing statements this morning that bring clarity. Everybody say, I matter. Now say it like you mean it. I matter. All right, now second one, say, what I do matters. All right, now this third one, I want you to say it so loud, so proud, that Pastor Ben would be able to hear it, not just on the recording, but at his house, okay? What I do matters to God. Okay, you guys did okay. So we're going to do it again. I matter. What I do matters. What I do matters to God. Now, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Okay, some of you do. Some of you are like, who's this guy? He's just reading some screen notes. No, if we continue to remind ourselves that we matter, what we do matters, and what we do matters to God, it's a game changer. So one of the rules about hearing me preach is I like audience participation. So if I ask a question, you answer it. Good? That was good with a question mark. Okay, so here we go. How do you all start your mornings? And don't give me the holier than thou answer. Well, the first thing I do is I pick up my Bible. No, don't give me that answer, okay? What's the first thing you do in the morning? Thank God, okay? Turn off your alarm. I hit snooze. Huh? Put on the armor of God. Come on, Ephesians 6. I love that. I know what my wife's first thing is that she does. She goes downstairs and she makes coffee. That's the first thing she does. She is so obedient in that. And I'm really thankful that she is, because I don't want to talk to her before she has her coffee most times. Okay, but I'm usually gone before she does all that. But what if we woke up every single morning and we reminded ourselves first and foremost before anything else that God has a plan and a purpose for our life? Maybe you need to get a coffee cup that reminds you of your purpose, that what he's created you for. Maybe you need a coffee cup to pop up on the screen behind me that's going to remind you that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Just maybe. Here it comes. Oh, look at that. It's amazing whenever we understand that God has something for us. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." Listen, if we woke up every single morning and we reminded ourselves that he has a plan and a purpose for us. And it's not to harm us. It's not to destroy us. It's not to hurt us. But it's to be everything that he's promised to be for each and every one of us. What if that was how you woke up? What if that was how you sought him all the days of your life? When we're looking, it says that we should do this wholeheartedly, not just side-eyed. Wholeheartedly looking for him, seeking him, chasing after him, to understand that he has a future and a hope and a purpose for all of us. And isn't that what we're all looking for? Isn't that what we're all searching for? To understand that hope and that future that he has for us. Listen, God's purpose for our lives, for us together, is that we would understand that we were created by him. We were created for God. We were created for community, and we were created for the bigger picture that he has, not only for his church, but for us as individuals. Now, I want to talk about the second one first, because that created for community part, how many, and listen, I'm okay with however you answer this question, how many introverts do we have in the room? You're too scared to raise your hand, I know. I get it. So everybody, how many extroverts? All the extroverts are like, yeah, I raised my hand real quick. This created for community part, today's an important day. Today's connection group kickoff. We kick off groups this week. We get to discover our purpose with other people around us. We weren't created to experience everything that God had for us by ourselves. We're created to live this in community and walk it out in community and walk it out in every single way. So this first statement, created for God, by God. God has a plan for you, and it's good. God has a plan for you, and it's good. Why is it good? Because he's good. because everything that he has done or ever will do is good. And you may be thinking, well, listen, I'm going through some stuff right now, and it's not good. But his word tells us that he will turn all to good for those who love him and are walking according to his plan. So my question to you, are you walking according to his plan? Because I know that Pastor Ben and Melanie are walking through some stuff right now because of surgery. But a few months from now, a month from now, a few weeks from now, everything will be different. And both of them will look back like, yeah, God was working both in and through that time. How do I know this? Because I look back and see how able God is and how faithful he is. And it causes me to look forward knowing that he'll do it again. Again and again and again. So, second statement, created for community. Understanding that there were a lot of verses that Jesus spoke that were just for people, for his people as a group, connected, walking it out. There's a lot that he spoke to just individual, but for all of us as his people. The last statement, created us for a big picture. Purpose is not our destination. It's a process of which we get there. Everything that we walk through, it's a process. It's a process. So I want us to understand that as we walk through God's plan, it is a process that we have the honor and privilege to walk through. Now, those last three verses that I read out of Jeremiah, it was not a quick three-verse fix. It's a process that we get to walk out every single day, reminding ourselves who we are to God, reminding ourselves that he knows us, that we're important to him, reminding ourselves that we have a hope and a future and a destiny, and reminding ourselves that we need to seek him all the days of our lives, wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. And the plan and the purpose that he has for you and for his church will be revealed step by step by step. But we want to know the whole picture. We want to know the whole picture. And I want to bring clarity to you today. If you knew the whole picture, why would you keep going? Why would you keep going? Rachel and I are on the tail end of 6 years of dealing with infection and pain and surgeries and everything. If 6 years ago God would have gave me that whole picture of everything we were about to walk through, would have never walked. Would have never walked. Would have just gave up. Like, oh, no, God, nope. But God revealed piece by piece by piece by piece. And now 6 years post that, I can look back and see how God was moving every single step of the way, every new piece of the picture, every single time. Wow, God, you knew what you were doing. Wow, God, you walked us through that. Wow, God, I remember when you did that. And I want you to think about what you're going through right now. If you knew the whole picture, would you even have jumped in? No. If you're anything like me, we never would jump in if we knew the whole picture. Listen, God created you for a purpose, and here's the purpose. You ready? Write this down. Get your pens out. Get your phones out. This is the purpose: to honor him in everything you do. Honor him. And then the remaining part of his plan will be revealed step by step by step by step. It's to honor him, to bring him glory, to walk in the things of God. Listen, God's a parent. How many parents do we have in the room? Okay? You raised your hands quicker than the introvert, extrovert part. But God's a parent. God's more interested in your character than your comfort. Listen, my son's sitting in the front row with my wonderful wife, and his name's Lennon, and I love him with all of my heart. But every time we walk into the church, no matter it is, I say to him, Lennon, whose house is this? And he'll go, God's house. You know? Or sometimes he'll say, it's God's house. But I want to remind him that we're going to honor this place. We're going to bring reverence to the time that we get to serve him and do that. Now, I'm going to continue to say that to him his whole life. So get ready, bud. But I'm more interested in the young man that he's becoming and the character that God's pulling out of him than I am making him comfortable. It's an uncomfortable question. Whose house is this, Lennon? God's house. It's uncomfortable. But the same's true for you. He wants you to be challenged, not necessarily comfortable. He wants you to be somebody that when people look at you, the character of God comes through. Your holiness is more important than your happiness. One of my least favorite statements in the whole entire world is happy wife, happy life. I hate that statement because it's not biblical. Biblical is that I need to make her holy. I need to present her back to God better than he gave her to me. And I've done a great job at not making her happy for the last 15 years. Made her overjoyful. But the fact that if we look at that in our own lives, God's not trying to make you happy every day. He's trying to make you more like his son. Every day is a day for us to become more and more like Jesus. Let's read 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It says, we love each other because he loved us first. When we understand and walk out this purpose of understanding that God is everything that he says he is, and he loves you, and he wants to empower you and equip you and challenge you and move you forward, it changes things. It changes the relationship that we walk out with him. When we understand that our only right response to God loving us is to love others, it changes the way that we walk out our plan and our purpose that he's given us. Listen, loving and caring for other people is not something that we were created to do. We're selfish. But when we love and care and encourage and empower other people, it's because we're walking out and understanding that God did that for us. When we understand that we've been created by God and for God and to be loved by God and to demonstrate God's love, it changes things. We want to know the whole picture. God wants to give us a glimpse at the whole, and then we get to walk it out, and it becomes more clear every single step of the way. When we meet Jesus, we obviously receive forgiveness for our sin, right? Right? Remember, that was right with a question mark, right? When we meet Jesus, we receive forgiveness for our sins, and then we ask him to lead us into our future. He becomes Lord over our life. That means he's the boss. Everybody say, he's the boss. Remember that show, Who's the Boss? You remember that show? What was it, Tony Danza? Was it Tony Danza? Yeah? That was a good show. Showing my age, all the younger people were like, who's the boss? Yeah. He's the boss. He's in control. We're going to spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out the plan and the purpose. And that's okay. Rachel and I just celebrated 15 years of marriage this past July. Yay. Rachel is a completely different person than who I stood at the altar with and said I do. I'm a completely different person than who stood at the altar 15 years ago and she said I do too. That's how it's supposed to work. If we would have stayed exactly the same as we were on July 16th, 2010, it wouldn't have worked. Healthy things grow and growing things change. You're supposed to be more like Jesus tomorrow than you are today. You're supposed to be more like him on Tuesday than you are on Monday. Everything that we walk out, whether it's in our marriage or in friendships or in our groups, we're supposed to walk it out knowing that we're to change and become more like him and walk out the future and the plan for him. when we worship him and we honor him, I believe that more and more of his plan and his purpose is revealed to us. I believe that. Everything that we do is centered around understanding who God is and that he loves us and has a plan and a purpose for our life. Listen, my purpose is to worship and honor God in every moment. Every moment. Do I fail sometimes? If Rachel's mic was on still, she'd say yes. But she's not picking the mic up again. It's right next to her. I'm looking at it. I fail. You all fail. But in the happy moments, what are we supposed to do? Praise God. Praise God, no matter what. In the difficult moments, guess what we're supposed to do? Praise God. You're catching it. All right, here we go. In the quiet moments, the still moments of our life, guess what we're supposed to do? See? Worship him. Seek him. Praise him. These are all synonyms. In the painful moments, what are we supposed to do? Trust him. Praise him and trust him. In the every moment, ordinary moments, mundane moments of life, what are we supposed to do? Thank him. We're supposed to praise him, seek him, worship him, trust him, and praise him. I worship God because of everything he has done. Worship is everything he has done. I praise God because of everything he has planned to do. Because I know who he is. I know what he's going to do. I know he's not going to forsake me or forget me or leave me behind. We worship him because of everything that he has done, and we praise him for everything that he's going to do. This past week for me, I'll just give an example. It was Wednesday, and I was preparing to leave for a trip. I went to Indiana State on Thursday, Friday, got back yesterday, and on Wednesday, there was a family within our church that young man, his mother passed away. And there was no way humanly possible that during the times that the funeral visitation was happening that I was going to be able to get to the funeral home. And instantly the enemy just creeped in and started lying to me and saying, listen, you're not serving this young man correctly. You're not honoring me. And the enemy kept stirring all these lies up in me. And in the hard moment, I looked at my wife and I said, should I go right now? And she looked at me and she started figuring out how I could go or what I could do or all these things. And she was doing that because she knew I wanted to go, but I couldn't. And then I said, babe, I just looked at you and I just wanted you to tell me, no, like, don't go. You can't go right now. And you know what I started to do because my perspective was shifted? I started praising God that there were so many people already there for him. His connection group was there for them. His friends were there for him. His close men that he's become in a relationship with over the years at church were there for him. They were doing everything. And I was praising God for finally getting us to this point where we didn't have to feel guilty that we weren't at every single thing and every single moment and everything. So I praised him. I want all of us to do this every single day in our lives, to look back and ask God, like, what's the purpose for this moment? What's the purpose for this moment? What am I supposed to learn from this moment? Oftentimes, we just see the storm and we don't see the bigger picture. One of the bigger pictures is that we were created for community. I know that you guys have phenomenal group leaders here at the Brighton Heights campus of Bridge City Church. We're going to pray over them in just a moment. But I want us to understand that our purpose is to be in community. I want you to be a part of a group. not because I just think it's amazing to be in big groups of people or small groups of people or any group of people, because I love people. I want you to be in a group because it's what God created us to be in. Community. Jeremiah 29 and the communication from the prophet Jeremiah was not just a me thing. It was a we thing. It was a we verse. I have a purpose for you. I have a plan for you all. And we get to have that revealed through groups. We get to have that revealed in every single step of the way. Listen, the early church, and I'm not going to talk about Acts 2, which is my favorite chapter. I'm not going to talk about it. Every time I preach, I get typecasted that I'm only going to talk about Acts 2. But here, the early church in Acts 2 grew because they were deeply committed to each other. They were deeply committed to praying and being in fellowship and worshiping God and following the teacher as he followed the teaching, or vice versa. It was growth was the result because of community, and that God was the center of it. Christianity was never meant for you to walk out as a solo project. So this QR code that's behind me, get your phone out, open up the camera, and get to the group page to sign up. If you haven't signed up yet, I'm asking why. And don't tell me you don't have time. Your time does not tell you where to go. You tell your time where to go. I'll give you an example of that. On my calendar, until Jesus comes back, church is on the calendar. You're like, why do you put church on your calendar? Because I'm telling my time where to go. Every single Sunday, church is on the calendar until it never ends. I said never. Ends never. Because I don't have the date Jesus is coming back. So, or the date I'm going to be with Jesus. Never. Starting this Wednesday, my connection group starts at 7 p.m. at my house, and it'll be on my calendar every single Wednesday for the next 14 weeks. I'm telling my time where to go. I'm telling my time how I'm going to use it on purpose, not by accident. Your growth, your encouragement, your strength will come from walking out the Word of God with others in every single way. You're called to walk it out with others. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another in acts of love and in good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Listen, we were created to be on mission. We were created to walk out the mission of the church together, not by ourselves. Together. We need each other to stay motivated in love and good works. If I was in charge of just motivating myself and didn't have other like-minded men and women pushing Rachel and I forward in every single way, I'll tell you what I would be motivated to do right now. I would be at home getting ready for the Steelers game that starts at 1 p.m. I'd be making Reuben dip, which if you haven't had Reuben dip, how many do we like Reubens here? Okay, imagine a deconstructed Reuben sandwich put into a cast iron pan, and then you scoop it out with rye bread. That's what I would be motivated to do. But because I met Jesus, I discovered my purpose, I'm walking it out, and I have others pushing me and encouraging me and empowering me and equipping me to do so, I get to be here with you all. And then, after I leave here, we're rushing back to the White Oak campus because we have a leaders meeting to prepare to go to 3 worship experiences. And then maybe I'll get an opportunity to watch a little bit of the Steelers game. When we're motivated by our purpose and by others helping us walk it out, it changes everything. when we recognize that there's something going on much, 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 much bigger than us, it changes things. When we start to see the bigger picture, it changes things. And we were created for the bigger picture. We were created for something so much bigger. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. God is causing my purpose to be unwrapped. He's causing our purpose to be unwrapped as we walk out life knowing that he is good. Your headlights on your car, they don't shine the whole... Okay, so I just drove 6 hours from Warsaw, Indiana, back to Pittsburgh. I did not get to see the beginning of that journey and the end of it just because of my headlights in front of me. I got to see about 100 feet ahead of me. And then in faith, the next 100 feet were going to be good too. If you turn your high beams on and you try to see more, what does everybody that's passing you do? Am I the only one? They flicker their high beams to tell you to turn yours off? If you try to see too far ahead, sometimes you get in trouble and other people need to warn you. Now, yesterday when I was driving back from Warsaw, Indiana, I didn't know that we were going to take a little bit of a bypass until we got about a few miles in and we got to stop at Bass Pro Shops, which I've never been to one. I did not know how ginormous that place was, and it was like it was heaven. It was like a portion of heaven here on earth. It was amazing. But then I got back in the car and I kept chugging along, and then we got home. We got to our destination. But the fact is that his word is not going to illuminate everything at all at once for you. It's going to illuminate one step at a time. His word is a lamp for your feet. Just keep walking. Just keep moving. And he will meet you as you follow him. And your purpose will be revealed as you follow him more and more and more. There's a picture that's going to come up behind me. It's an amazing picture. Phenomenal picture. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? Right now, you do not see anything on that picture. I know what it is. Some people in this room know what it is because we put it up earlier just to make sure that it was there. But this is kind of like what our life looks like before God. Number one's all the way up in that top left-hand corner. And what do you do when you're drawing by dots? You take number one, and you go to what? Number two. And then you go where? Three. Let's see how smart we are here at the Brighton Heights campus. And then after three, where do you go? Four. Okay. Does anybody see the highest number on there? Hundred and something. Anybody find it? 200? 177? Anyone else? 195 steps. We got to four. Listen, I don't know how many steps you all are going to take in your life. But I know if you keep taking one step closer to God, one step closer to God, one step closer to God, eventually you're going to be at step 195 and the whole picture is going to be revealed to you. The whole picture. Eventually, if we keep walking it out one step at a time, we'll get to see the picture. You guys ready to see the picture? All right, here we go. Look at that little koala bear. So cute. On that eucalyptus tree. There was a show on Nickelodeon growing up. The young lady had a koala bear that lived outside of her windows. Anybody remember this show? All right, well, that's just me. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Maybe your first step in this room today is to take that first step to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, forgive me of my past. Lead me into my future as Lord over my life. If you're here today and you've never taken that first step, I want today to be your day. I want today to be your day at 11:06 a.m. in Brighton Heights, Pennsylvania. What is it, Terman Avenue? Right out there. You walked in these doors and you had no idea that you were taking steps closer and closer and closer to your eternity. I want today to be your day. So if you're here today and you don't have a day, a time, a place where you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what better day than today to take that step? And I'm going to ask you to do one of the bravest things you've ever done, but one of the greatest things you'll ever do, which is just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have a day. I don't have a time. I don't have a place where I've received you as my Lord and Savior. Anyone at all today? All right, well, through that time, God just revealed another step of his purpose for each and every one of us. It's to go outside of these walls and shout the good news by the way that you live your life, so that people will continue to come into this place and meet Jesus. That's part of your purpose. Go out there, walk it out, and keep bringing people in that are going to meet Jesus, that need him. You're just one step in the plan that God has for their life. There's some big picture people in this room that I want to take an opportunity and pray over. And those big picture people are our connection group leaders and our Bridge City student leaders. If you're one of those, could you just stand to your feet for me? You could clap for them as they stand too. It's pretty cool. These individuals, because they've stepped out in faith and say, I want to lead a group, they're big picture people. They know that God has a plan and a purpose for everything that he does. And as they lead their connection groups this semester, they don't know the plans and purposes that God has for every single person or where they're going to be led over the next 14 weeks. They're just people that have stepped up and said, I'm going to help somebody take their next step. I'm going to help somebody take one step forward closer to God. A group is simple. It's a group of friends that gets together, prays, reads the Bible, and decides what their next step is going to be. And these individuals have stepped forward and said, I want to help people do that. And we're going to pray over them. We're going to pray over the whole entire semester. We're going to pray over everything that God has planned and prepared to do. But let's just, if you're near somebody, you can stretch forth your hand. If you want to just keep this praying to cover all the connection group leaders, that's fine, but you're just agreeing with what's being prayed. Father God, I thank you first and foremost for what you've done in every one of these leaders' lives. God, I thank you for everything that you have planned to do in every one of these leaders' lives. But God, we come before you right now and we praise you for everything that you have planned to do both in and through their connection groups and through Bridge City Students that kicks off this week. God, we just sit before you in complete awe that we get to be a part of people's lives. We get to lead people closer to you. We get to help unpack your word. Lord, I thank you for all that you're going to do this semester through connection groups, God. God, I pray for every single meeting time. I pray for every home that groups are going to be met in. I pray for this campus. God, may you reveal more and more of your picture throughout the semester to each and every one of these individuals as they lead others. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, listen, it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you today. And I'm going to pass the mic off to Sir Sly, and he's going to wrap us up. You can, well, clap for Sly as he made his way upstairs. You can clap for him.